And even without our quorum, we'll go ahead and begin purposes of discussion. Senator Stedman, Co-Chair Wilkin, and myself, Senator Green, and Janet Clark to do introductions. Go ahead, Janet.
For the record, Madam Chairman, Janet Clark with the Department of Health and Services. We are pleased to be here today to present a long-term Medicaid forecast that the department has contracted for. I know that sometimes folks think numbers and charts 20 years into the future are a bit boring, but I hope that we can jazz it up this morning and that if you have questions, you'll ask them. You should have two handouts. We have the PowerPoint presentation available for the committee, as well as the actual report itself that has a lot more information about the whole project. So, Madam Chairman, what I'd like to do is the department contracted last year with the Lewin Group and Eco Northwest, and they're not it stands for Economic Consulting Northwest, so they're an economic firm. And I'd like to introduce Ted Helvoit from Eco Northwest, who is a economist and has been with them since 2002. And John Shields, who is with the Lewin Group and has been with them since 1980 and is really an expert on designing and evaluating health coverage expansion proposals, et cetera. So with that, with your permission, Madam Chairman, I'd like to turn it over to our two contractors.
Okay, fine, thank you. Gary and Bert, would you like to move over here? It's going to be
pretty good. Oh, I'll spin around. I'm fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, very good.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That was a very kind introduction. I'd just like to make the point at the outset that the Lewin Group is committed to doing nonpartisan research. Our basic goal is to help people understand.
Okay, would you identify yourself for the record?
I'm sorry, my name is John Shields. The basic idea is to help help policymakers, frankly, figure out what to do in anticipation of program growth. Alaska is at this point the only state in the union that has done projections this far out into the future. We go out to 2025. We've seen states go out as far as 5 years, and I've never seen a state go out beyond that. As you'll see in this presentation, some of the most dramatic impacts we're going to see on the program actually occur after about 10 years from now. This work, I think you'll find, is timely. The President, in his State of the Union, indicated that he would be setting up a commission to study the long-term impact on the federal and state budgets of the growth in the aged population, Social Security costs, Medicare costs, and the Medicaid program. And I think the state is, at this point, a little bit ahead of the game by having this study. I don't know that this information is actually available at the federal level either for Medicaid. I'll turn it over to Ted Helvoit, who really did the lion's share of the actual development work on the model, and he's been a pleasure to work with. Ted?
Hi, I'm Ted Helvoit. I'm an economist with Eco Northwest. We have offices in Portland and Eugene, Oregon. A couple things before I get started. First off, as I'm going through here, if you need any clarification, please stop me. Because this has become a little bit old hat to me, and I'm just assuming everyone knows as well as I do. And then second of all, Janet told me I need to jazz it up a little bit. So it's getting, I've been presenting this a few times, and so I kind of assume everyone knows it by now. So let's get started. The who, what, and why. And Janet alluded to this, or talked a little bit about this earlier. In March 2005, DHSS contracted with the Lewin Group and Eco Northwest to create a long-term forecasting model for Medicaid expenditures. And the point of doing the model, the main point of doing the models was to provide a tool for the Department of Health and Human Services that they can.
Could you get a little closer?
Sure. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Thank you. Right. A little better?
Oh, much better.
Okay. So the main purpose for our project was to prepare create a tool for DHSS so that they can both today, next year, the year after next, can prepare forecasts, long-term forecasts, to know where, or to get an idea of where Medicaid spending is going for the state. And so, again, the main point is to prepare this, to create this tool. And as I just mentioned, as new data become available, new population forecasts become available, as more current claims data, Medicaid claims data become available, the models can be updated, the changes in trends can be analyzed, and a new forecast can be prepared. Then in addition, we were asked to prepare a report that describes the methodology we followed, step-by-step what we did, what the models do, what goes into the models, what data were available to us, and what data we used to build the model, and then presents the baseline findings, the baseline forecast. And we'll talk a little bit more about what we mean by baseline in here. And so this presentation is going to present the findings of the baseline analysis. So the outline of the presentation, I'm going to talk fairly briefly on the methodology, the steps of the model or steps of the analysis, and then move into our findings. And the findings are broken down into population forecast, a Medicaid enrollment forecast, a Medicaid utilization forecast, total spending on Medicaid, and total spending is total spending on claims by both the federal and state government. And then finally, the most important part, the save it for last, the state matching fund spending, what part you're in it for. So this is as good as the graph, well, about as good as the graphs get as far as color go today. And it's a representation of the methodology we followed, and it's having the steps in there, heading up to this door, is almost analogous to what we did in the process. And each step, as you're going up, is really becomes the basis for the next part of the analysis. And at the first step is population. And throughout this presentation, we'll be coming back to population and demographics, because they're what's going to drive changes in Medicaid over the next 20 years. The Alaska population forecast that we're using, the basis of it comes from the Department of Labor, Alaskan Department of Labor, and the state demographer Greg Williams. And in 2005, he published the long-term population forecast for the state. And his forecast is by male, female, and by age cohort. It actually might even be by almost year-by-year age through 2030. And we use his data through 2025. In addition to knowing by gender, because in Medicaid, it's important to Medicaid utilization is very different between men and women. Men don't have babies. Women live longer, things like that. It's important to know the population growth for males and females. Age is also very important. The utilization of services are very different between children, between working age adults, and between the elderly. And then, in addition, we looked at growth in Medicaid, historic Medicaid spending, and projecting the future by regions of Alaska. And we used five different regions, the largest being the Anchorage-Matsu region, but in addition, northern region, western region, southeast, and a south central region. And then finally, we also break the analysis into native, non-native status. And the importance of having the forecast by native, non-native status is that the FMAP, the federal matching percent of spending, is different for native and non-native. When a native, when a qualified native enrollee or recipient of Medicaid uses a native health facility. And so in those cases, the FMAP, the part that the federal government pays is 100%. So it's important to know where if there's differences in the growth rate of the native population versus the non-native population. And that really comes into the last part of the analysis, the state matching spending. And so in doing this, in looking at this by region, by age, by gender, and by native, non-native status, we have 220 subpopulations that we forecast out in the future. So a fairly detailed analysis and adds some complexity to the analysis. So once we have a population forecast, then we'd move into Medicaid enrollment. And again, enrollment differs by age categories and male, female. And so having that population forecast, having a good population forecast, feeds right into creating a good enrollment forecast. And then finally, or next, into utilization of services. And so that's in the yellow there, our next step. And then finally, moving on to spending. And we looked at spending both at the spending by both the federal and state government, total spending on claims, and then we break it out by state fund spending. And then finally, the last step, it's not something that's really we're going to talk about today, but other payments and offsets, and that's non-claim related spending by the department. So throughout this analysis, a couple things to think about, keep in the back of your mind, that there are factors that the legislature has some control over, including eligibility requirements for Medicaid, reimbursement rates for services provided, and then the actual services provided. Not all services, but some services are at the discretion of the state. And there are a number of factors that are outside of your control. And these are very, very important factors outside of your control. Population growth, it's going to grow or not grow as it is. There's no way really to control that. And the population is going to change. Alaskan's population, like the population for the rest of the country, is aging. And then finally, changes in medical technology. As a country, as we are advancing in sophistication, we have all these great advantages of new medical procedures, but with that comes a lot of higher costs. And so medical technology drives a lot of the spending growth in Medicaid, as well as any other type of medical spending. So the baseline, what we mean by a baseline analysis. We assume for this analysis, for this long-term analysis, the status quo as of fiscal year 2004. And in that, what we mean is that the policies, the Medicaid policies that were present in 2004 are what we assume throughout the full forecast. Our historical data go from fiscal year 1997 through 2004. We know of changes that happened there, Denali Kid Care and such. And so we're able to model those historical changes that have happened. But for the future, we have to start with a baseline assumption. And our baseline assumption, the most logical, is to say Medicaid as it is today, as far as policies goes, will be constant through time. Now, obviously, that's not going to be the case. Policy changes year by year. What the model allows is for DHSS to take those changes that are being made and then enact them into the model and see what the outcome is going to be, how spending is going to change over time for that. And so what I present today does not contain or does not is not influenced by cost containment measures, by bring the kids home, by personal care attendant regulation changes, or perhaps most important, the Medicare Part D drug benefit. And there's hopefully there'll be savings for Medicaid with the Medicare Part D drug benefit. It may also be the case that there's a lot of shifting around of spending there. And it's really too early to tell for Alaska or for the state or for the nation as a whole how that's going to play out. Thus we keep things as a baseline. So we'll begin with our findings from the Alaska population. And again, much of this comes directly from the work by Greg Williams, the state demographer. Population-wise, demographically, the most important factor is aging of the population. Between calendar year 2005 and calendar year 2025, the elderly population, that part of the population over 65, is going to almost triple from about 43,000 today to about 125,000 in 2025. A significant change for Alaska. For the population as a whole, the rate of growth is going to slow throughout the forecasting period from about 1% a year to about 0.5%, just over 0.5% by 2025. So as it's growing, it's going to be growing a little slower each year. The growth in population is going to be centered in the Anchorage-Matsu region. A couple reasons for that. That's much of the economic activity is centered for Alaska, and where many of the services are provided or are located. And so for the elderly, this may be even more important than for the entire population. Based on our projections, we believe that the Southeast will have a slight population decline, very slight population decline between today and 2025. And based largely on birth rates, the native population will grow substantially faster than the non-native population, about 1.7% per year versus a little less than 1% per year. And so this figure, this bar chart shows for years 2005, 2010, 2015, 2020, 2025, the breakout by population cohort for Alaska. And so in the dark blue is the children, 0 to 19, and essentially no growth is forecasted for that part of the population, very slight growth. For the young adults, a little bit of growth in there. For question?
Yeah, Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I see on your population, your base for your forecast, 2004 here in the book, it's like 650,000 residents here, and pretty close to that, a little bit above that, I guess, on your bar chart. But I think we put out about, Madam Chair, about 600 dividend checks, 600,000 dividend checks?
I don't know.
I think we're in that.
620,000?
Okay. Well, I was just kind of curious on the spread between the dividend checks and the estimated population. So there's but in 04 it's showing here at 650, so if there was a 620,000 dividend checks, there's about a 30,000 head delta. I think most people in the state of Alaska are pretty aggressive at applying for their dividend check.
Right.
There are some who don't, though.
But
you also have to calculate into that there's some people who are not in state, but they're still counted as residents. Okay, never mind.
It's a good question. These come from census, decennial census data. The Pure Census puts together. They'll be frank with you that some of the census data, in fact, has to be taken with a grain of salt in an area like Alaska, where so much of the state is a frontier population. And so there could be a difference there between the census numbers and your experience. It wouldn't surprise me.
Well, actually, the 2005 numbers, for the full state that's shown right here, these are straight from the state demographer. So for total state. So this is Greg Williams, your state demographer's state forecast of population. So I hate to pass the buck, but the but it is. And so the that part's right there. So Medicaid enrollment. So create the population forecast. For our 220 population or subpopulation cohorts, we project those out from 2005 through 2025. And now, based on historical data, looking at historical trends, we now come up with estimates of the percentage of each of those subpopulations that are going to be enrolled in Medicaid. And so the bad news, that we project that Medicaid enrollment will grow faster than the population, population as a whole between 2005 and 2025, although varying over time, is going to average about 0.85% per year. And we project that over that same period, enrollment in Medicaid is going to grow by 1.4% per year. So in another way to put it, the percent of the state enrolled in Medicaid is going to grow over the next 20 years. Much of this will be due to growth in the elderly population, the 65-plus population. Enrollment will grow from about 132,000 today to 175,000 by 2025. So fairly substantial growth there. Enrollment will be much faster for the elderly, similar to population growth. The population growth is not for the elderly is not quite 6%, but we project that Medicaid enrollment for the elderly will grow at 6%. So it's substantially faster than the growth in enrollment for the total population. And then LD enrollment will grow, will more than triple between 2005, between today and 2025, to about 33,000 enrollees by then. And similar to the population chart, this chart shows enrollment by age cohort. The dark blue, again, are children. And there is growth. We project growth in enrollment through 2020, then a slight decline by 2025. For the working age adults, ages 20 through 64, we project essentially no growth in enrollment in Medicaid. And then as the light yellow shows, for the elderly, substantial growth in Medicaid enrollment. And so a fairly substantial difference in what the typical Medicaid enrollees are going to look like 20 years from now. And as we'll see, that has very significant impact on spending, on changes in spending over time. Okay, so again, similar to what we did in population, we now have a forecast for all 220 of our subpopulations for each year into the future on the number of Alaskans that will be enrolled in Medicaid. And so for now, we move on to utilization. How much will each of those subpopulations utilize? How many Medicaid services will they use each year? It's important to define what we mean by service utilization, because it's somewhat ambiguous term. But for our analysis, utilization is the unduplicated count of persons who used a particular service in a given fiscal year or during the year. And so for this analysis, we combine Medicaid services or aggregate them into 20 service categories. And so service utilization, it would be using a Medicaid enrollee who uses one particular service, that's a utilization, or if they use another service, that's also another utilization. But it's not a measure of intensity of service, of use of a particular service. So let's get too confusing, but if they're using the service continually through the year, that's still one utilization. The intensity of service is very important, and that's picked up in the spending projections, in the portion of spending. So this is simply how many different services or the total use of services by an enrollee. And this one is particularly important because with a few exceptions, once a person becomes Medicaid eligible, they're allowed to use pretty much whatever services they want to use. And so growth in the utilization of services is an important thing to keep an eye on. It's going to differ very much between service categories. With personal care, HCB waiver, and residential psychiatric growing very quickly, and other services growing either very slowly or either slightly declining over the next 20 years. Personal care at 9.7%, we hope is a little bit of an overestimate given changes in the pending or just coming through in personal care attendant regulations. And so with those kind of changes, hopefully that'll be driven down a little bit. And so this fastest growing of the service categories is perhaps overstated in this baseline projection. HCB waiver, this is home and community-based services, and so this would be for the elderly. And in many cases, this is a type of service to use instead of nursing home care. And so we'd expect as a nation, as a state, as people are trying to stay at home as long as possible, this type of service is going to increase for sure. For the slower growing services, for inpatient hospital, this is as much as anything as it's kind of a relative difference. And so there's growth over time, but it's really the case of when you compare it to some of these other services, it's not going to be a big driver, a future driver in spending. Across all Medicaid services, all 20 of our service categories, growth rates differ very much, as it's shown in the last slide. But for all Medicaid services over in combination, in aggregate, we project, or we use as a guide, the CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, projection of Medicaid utilization of 2.2% per year into the future. And so what this means is not that we project that Alaskans will utilize Medicaid services at the same rate that non-Alaskans do as the rest of the nation does, but rather that Alaska's unique rate of service utilization will grow at the same rate as U.S. as a whole. And this is an important assumption right here. This is the utilization or growth in utilization is a bit of a tough one to forecast, and the CMS is really the best place, or even the only place to go to get estimates of utilization growth. And so we use that to guide our growth rates also for this part of the analysis, just for this utilization piece. And then, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, the partially offsetting the HCB waiver, the home and community-based services, is slower projected growth in nursing home services, only 4.2% through 2025. Still, higher than zero, but not nearly as high as HCB waiver.
Senator Wilkin has a question.
Sure.
To finish that slide, if you would, please, and we'll go back to 22. You can finish that.
Yeah, no, I was all done.
Two questions. What is CMS?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Federal.
Federal level, yes. Second largest
agency in the country.
In the country.
Except for Department of Defense.
Then the question is there national forecast of growth and utilization? A nationwide number, or is it by state or by region?
Nationwide.
They don't have.
So their number would apply to Massachusetts just as it would apply to Alaska?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I'd say that they care about nationally what things are, where's growth and utilization going to be for Medicaid. That their assumption is that overall, in aggregate, the U.S. utilization growth will be about 2.2% per year.
This allows for the unique patterns of growth in utilization by service type for the state of Alaska. All of that is state-specific. The reason why we go to CMS to get an overall estimate, an overall constraint on the rate of growth, is that CMS has studied factors like medical technology development, and they have been doing this work for so many years that they have a track record, which we're able to go back and see, well, how were our projections 5 years ago? And from that, they're able to make some refined estimates here. But we're guiding the overall level of utilization by the CMS national forecasts, but we're allowing for most definitely allowing for the very unique utilization patterns in the state of Alaska.
So, again, if Missouri is going to grow at 2.2, also Alaska is going to grow at 2.2?
Yeah.
Based on this, on our projection, yeah. And this essentially would say this is assumption that we made for this, for the model, or for this projection, so yes.
I mean, that's a big piece of your model, isn't it?
It is and it isn't. Well, it is. I mean, each piece of the model is actually very important. What's, as John was saying, within Alaska's Medicaid services, the 20 service categories, we allow for the historic variability to maintain that through the forecast. So that's uniquely Alaskan, as well as the rate of utilization that has been historical and is going on right now. What this projection does, or what this the CMS rate of 2.2% does, is says we're going to assume that it's not going to be any higher than this 2.2%. And so it is definitely the case to say, well, isn't Alaska unique? Shouldn't it be? Isn't it going to be growing differently than Missouri? It may be, but we don't know if it's going to be growing higher or lower. What we do know is that to a large extent, medical technology is diffused across the country fairly quickly, and we know that that growth utilization is not substantially different across the country.
Well, I think too, you know, you come to a point in all your work where you have to admit that somebody else has done something better than we have. We've got data that for this purpose, I think we have less than 10 years of historical data we have here, and I think that's right. And it's very difficult to project 20 years out based on what's happened over the past 10 years. And they have a couple of people who do nothing but try and figure out what's going on with this number. And you just have to acknowledge that they probably know more than we're able to discern from just 10 years of experience. But it's definitely, this is the only place where we go outside of the model and bring something back into it as a basis for making our simulation, except perhaps the population projections which we get from the state, and those are state specific. But I think this is the only place where this happens, where something like this happens, and you're correct to be concerned about it, whether it really applies here. But we had to make a judgment call, and I'm pretty good at admitting that other people have something, know something better than I do. It actually happens quite a bit.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You bet.
And I will mention that it's very simple to, as far as for a sensitivity type analysis, to say, gee, what if Alaska's rate of utilization grows a percentage point faster than the U.S. as a whole? In fact, all we need to do is bump up the forecast by a percentage point, or if it grows at a slower rate. So it's really, you can very simply look at sensitivity around that analysis. So.
And does your study do that?
We don't in here, no. This would be a, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, so getting on to the dollars, and starting with total spending. Again, total spending is spending on claims, on Medicaid claims, spending by the federal government and the state government combined. And then just to take a step back of where we're at here, we have two things now. First of all, we have our 220 subpopulations. We have our population forecast for each of those 220 subpopulations. We have an enrollment forecast for each of those 220 subpopulations. And finally, we have a utilization forecast for each of those 220 subpopulations. Now, in addition, we also have a forecast of utilization for the 20 service categories. And of course, the sum of utilization for the service categories is equal to the sum of set of utilization for the 220 subpopulations. But now we have this additional sophistication or additional complexity in the model, in that we're not just looking at the subpopulations, but we're also looking at how those subpopulations interact with the 20 different service categories. So, and to a large extent, we're more interested in how the impact or what's the impact on the service categories than the subpopulation as a whole. But we look at both of those throughout the report, as you'll see. So kind of a quick caveat. The primary importance of the forecast is related to the direction of change and the magnitude of change. Our point estimate is not going to be right on. It's a 20-year forecast. There's going to be change over time, obviously. And so it's really, magnitude is very important and the direction of change is very important across all service categories and within each service category. So that's something to keep in mind there. In calendar year 2005, there's approximately $1 billion spent on Medicaid service, Medicaid claims in Alaska. And this is total state and federal combined spending. By calendar year 2025, we project that to be about $4.8 billion in actual dollars, in the actual dollars that will be spent by the state and by the federal government. In inflation-adjusted terms, in today's dollars, that's going to be about $2.2 billion. And so substantial growth. The difference, the 7.6% growth rate in actual dollars versus the 3.8% difference in inflation adjusted dollars is 3.8%, and that is medical specific inflation, which has historically grown faster than general inflation and is projected to grow a little faster than general inflation in the future also. And so the dollars that were transacted to the general economy aren't growing as fast as the dollars that are in medical services in general, and in this case, Medicaid services. Currently, inpatient hospital accounts for about 15% of Medicaid spending, Medicaid claim spending, and comparatively, home and community-based waivers account for about 11%, and personal care about 10%. So all three are large programs, large service categories for Medicaid right now. In the future, we're going to see quite a bit of change. Inpatient hospital is going to grow. It's going to become more people will be using inpatient hospital services, but as a percent of total spending, it's going to shrink substantially from the 15% today to about 5% by 2025. Comparatively, home and community-based waivers are going to grow substantially to about 22% of spending, and personal care will grow to about 27% of spending. Again, personal care projection, all this projection, but the personal care in particular, based on a baseline analysis, a baseline projection, and so with changes that the legislature has made or is making with personal care attendant regulations, hopefully that'll grow slower and it'll be less than 27% of spending. This is, I think, probably the most compelling graph in this presentation or in the report, and it shows the percent of total spending on Medicaid claims by age cohort. And as you can see, today, in 2005, when I say today, I do mean last year, but in 2005, most spending was done on children, about just a little less than 45%, and spending on elderly constituted only about 22% of spending, so about half of that spent on children, and in working age adults, about 35% of spending. Over the next 20 years, there's going to be a substantial shift. By 2015, spending on elderly will surpass spending on working age adults, and by 2018, spending on the elderly will surpass spending on children. And so a much different, in the future, a much different focus of the Medicaid program. And when you're looking at dollars, it's all right there. In this graph, first of all, I think brings up the importance of looking at, of Alaska study, of looking out more than 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years into the future. If we would have looked out to 2011, 2012, we wouldn't see this dramatic change that's gonna happen out in the future. Again, it's not till 2015 that spending by the elderly will surpass spending on spending on the elderly will surpass spending on working age adults, and then just keep on growing, and so that the a little bit less than half of spending by 2025 will be on the elderly in Medicaid.
When does the baby boomer start? Kind of way.
That starts in
dying off or passing away or whatever. And
well, that's the 50-year projection. So
exponential curve. Certainly, it's not, you know, it's curve linear. When does it roll over?
There's two things that are pushing that curve up that fast. One is the increase in the number of elderly in Alaska and in enrolled in Medicaid. The other one is the substantial cost of an elderly enrollee relative to the cost of the typical working age enrollee or the typical child enrollee. And so, I'll be honest, I don't know. I don't know when, we need population projections way out there.
The Office of the Actuary of the Medicare program, Medicare Hospital Insurance Program, does do projections out to 2075 on the number of people who are over or eligible for their Medicare program that's required for their long-term financing. And we can get that information. It is going to be probably 30, 40 years before there's a leveling off of the population growth in general. It's quite possible, too, that the, in fact, it's quite likely, I think we do show this result, that the enrollment in the Medicaid program is growing faster than the population is growing. You have more lower income people over time. The income distribution in the country is changing, and it's becoming broader over time. So this is combining a sort of an economic trend with a population trend. And I think we want 2029, but it still doesn't quite answer your question. So we should take a look at what the Social Security Administration has. I think it's on their website.
We won't be here then, so.
I'm sorry?
I said we're not going to be here then. I was just curious that we'll be addressing this, I'm sure, on the left-hand side of the scale versus the right-hand side.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I would hope, anyway.
So any other questions with that? So the bottom line, very much that a substantial shift in spending and who it's going to be spent on, and then in the spending by service categories. And so some real growth within certain spending categories here. I think it's also important to think about is that going back to that population forecast, the number of working age adults in Alaska is not projected to grow, and this is the state's forecast, is not projected to grow over time. So as Medicaid is going to be spending a lot more money on the elderly, there's not going to be a lot more working age adults paying taxes into the and building and creating wealth in Alaska over that same period of time.
Can we go, just sure. If I could, Madam Chair, could just back up to slide 30 again. Do we have a formula error in the elderly? I mean, it just seems after a couple of years after 2025 that it's going to be a virtual vertical line.
Well, it's going to be, at a certain point, it's going to be, it's going to hit an asymptote and so curve off. I don't know when that's going to be.
I think, 10 to 20 years after 2025, you'll start to see some leveling. We did another, actually Ted will present it in a minute, which actually redoes the calculations using a different assumption on population growth, just to demonstrate that you still get much the same answer. The numbers are very different in absolute terms, but you still get a chart that looks something like that, and I think that's what Ted's going to show you in a minute or two.
And it is important to think about, again, that as far as enrollees go, throughout that whole period, even in 2025, enrollee-wise, of the 175,000 enrollees, only 33,000 are elderly. So much of this has to do with the amount of spending, the growth in spending in those service categories that are mostly used by enrollees. So the growth in utilization and growth in spending of HCB waiver, of personal care, and then obviously, although we don't show great growth, a substantial growth in nursing home, it's a very expensive service category. So it's not only the growth in population, it's also that on a per Medicaid enrollee basis, much higher costs for the elderly.
Yeah, home long-term care costs are very high for the very oldest age court, 75 and older, for example. And that, too, is growing quite substantially, of course, over time. And we were looking at the numbers last night. The costs there are several times that of just people 65 to 74 on a per capita basis. And the main reason for that is that this is the program which catches those people who have exhausted their resources and now need the state to help them with their long-term care expenses, nursing home and elsewhere. So that's this is the program that deals with a particular portion of the population that is in has special needs or above average needs for this help, either financially or because of their health status, and that's what's driving it. I just remind you that a lot of people are concerned that Social Security won't be there when we retire. And some of those people are the people who do these kinds of projections, because these numbers really are quite frightening. I have a speech on that. I don't think we should be too discouraged about that, but this is consistent with the problems that a lot of analysts around the country in healthcare are pointing to right now.
All right. And this is, we've talked about this some throughout the presentation. DHSS staff can do policy scenarios as well as update the model when new population forecasts are available or more enrollment claims data are available. They can also do long-term policy scenarios using the long-term model. So make a change in a program, what's the effect over the long term? And so, for example, we put a couple of examples in here, and one would be, what would be the effect on Medicaid spending if the elderly population grows slower than is projected by the state? And this this figure is simply for illustrative purposes, and the, let's see if I use my pointer here, yeah, the black dotted line represents a change in or a decline in the growth rate of the elderly population by 25%. Again, illustrative purposes only, but the effect is going to be that there's still going to be a big change in the Medicaid program. It's just going to happen later out in the future by a few years. So even a substantial change in the demographic and population forecast is still going to have a big impact on the Medicaid program. And this really comes down, again, to that spending per enrollee.
Maybe I just say or point out right here, this is kind of interesting. It shows that in absolute terms, our model and our results are sensitive to your assumptions. That's quite a difference in spending in millions of dollars there between the two lines. On the other hand, the chart also demonstrates that even with a very, very different assumption, we get pretty much the same answer in concept. The aged will be comprising a much greater share of the program's spending over time, even under really a dramatically more favorable assumption.
Another instance would be the effect on Medicaid spending if utilization of Medicaid services grows more slowly. And this comes back to the question about the CMS projection, national projection of Medicaid growth in Medicaid utilization of 2.2%. What's the effect on total Medicaid spending if the growth in utilization is slower? And we can look at that also. And so again, for illustrative purposes only, and I'm not even sure what the reduction would be in this case right here. But this can be looked at also, and so we look at both. We would know what the growth rate change is going to be, and then also look at what's the spending difference going to be in 2025 or any other year based on a given reduction in the rate of utilization. And this one would be probably most significant with personal care, given that changes have been made or are being made right now, and it's such a large and growing Medicaid service category. So. And then finally, with total spending, nationally, CMS, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, projects that Medicaid spending will grow by 7.5% per year through 2014. And CMS only does, for this type of analysis, only does 10-year projections. And so that's we can only look through 2014 for a comparison, national comparison. Over the same period, we project total spending to grow in Alaska at 7.7%. So not much different right there. But keep in mind that 7.7% as we go into our next section here, that's a, it's a, it's an important number. So state fund spending, and just to stop for a moment and kind of look again at where we're at. We did our population projection, we did our utilization, our enrollment utilization, total spending, and so we have a projection of total spending on Medicaid claims for the state and federal government. And now, most importantly, we want to know, of that total spending on Medicaid, what portion of it is going to be picked up by the state? And so that's what we'll show here. And state fund matching spending for calendar year 2005 was approximately $380 million. And we project that by 2025, that's going to grow in actual dollars to $2.1 billion. So that's the actual dollars, the actual checks being written then. And then in inflation-adjusted dollars, in today's dollars, to grow to $1 billion. And something to think about is that in inflation-adjusted dollars, that the growth to $1 billion, that is a faster growth rate than real personal income is projected to grow in the state, and that'd be the projections by the folks up in Anchorage, University of Anchorage, or University of Alaska in Anchorage. And so the in actual dollars, very big number for the state, $2.1 billion. In inflation-adjusted dollars, it's still going to be growing faster than personal income. And then the growth rate, the spending on claims is projected to grow at 8.9% for the state. And going back to that number from our last section on total spending, we projected that spending for the state of Alaska as a whole, or for spending on Medicaid in Alaska, total spending by the feds and by the state to grow by 7.3%. For the state share is going to grow a lot faster than that, 8.9%. And so increasingly, and this especially over the next 5 years, and we'll talk about this, why this is the case, spending by the state is going to outstrip spending growth by the federal government. And in fact, between 2005 and 2010, we project that the state's growth in spending is going to be 10.1% per year, and the federal spending will only increase by 6.3% per year. And there's one primary reason for that, and that has to do with the federal matching assistance program. And so with Medicaid, as I'm sure you know, when a person uses Medicaid services, the part of it is paid for by the federal government, part of it's paid for, or it's all paid by the state, and then large part of it's reimbursed by the federal government. The match rate for Alaska got better and better from 97 through 2001. More and more was being paid for by the federal government. Since 2001, less and less has been paid for by the federal government. And that is projected to continue that way through the next few years, and that by 2008, Alaska's federal match will be at the minimum level. And we project that minimum level out through 2025. Hopefully that won't be the case. Hopefully the match will be higher. But as it stands right now, the match is going to continue to decline to the minimum by that point. And so that constitutes the huge difference in spending growth. So each percent less that the federal government does not pay is money that's going to have to be paid for by the state. And that's going to be a substantial amount over the next 5 years. On a per capita basis, and this is, a good way to kind of relate to the spending, state spending. On a per capita basis, and per capita for the entire population, not just the Medicaid population, but for the entire population, spending on Medicaid constitutes about $500 per Alaskan today. By 2025, in the actual dollars, that's going to grow to just over $2,500 per Alaskan, and in inflation-adjusted dollars, in today's dollars, that's going to grow to almost $1,500 per Alaskan. And again, with that show, the thing to keep in mind there is that spending in real terms, in inflation-adjusted dollars, is going to grow faster than real personal income growth. So we're going to be making more money, but we're going to be spending a lot more money per Alaskan over the next 20 years. Any questions on that? That's the real big part right there. Yeah. Kind of sobering part, I guess.
I think it's useful to point out that much of that change happens in the first, with the state share spending, happens in the next few years because the match rates are going down. But then they'll hit 50%, which is the minimum, and it'll level off. But what's happening in the next few years is a big part of why state spending will grow faster than federal share.
And I think it also accents the importance of working towards maintaining as high as possible match from the federal government. It is definitely an important issue. Going forward, so and unfortunately, the next slide is not a whole bunch of answers by any means. So going forward, and this is a quote from Assistant Commissioner Clark, the Alaskan Medicaid program is going to change over the next 20 years. Historically, it's been a program that's focused on children, and in the future, the spending is going to be dominated by spending on the elderly. It's going to look a lot more like Medicare over the next 20 years, or 20 years out. And so it's a fundamental change in how services, what services, and the whole structure of the of the program is going to change over that period. And leave you just a couple thoughts to leave you with. And this is not really, it's not written so well. It should say some factors you have some amount of control over, because obviously this is not an issue of complete control, but there are things that you, just like other state legislatures, can look at, can think about, can try to act on, and those are eligibility requirements for Medicaid, the reimbursement rates for Medicaid, and then finally the services provided, the state-funded services provided by Medicaid. And I believe that is all we have. The complete report, you have that, but it's also available on the web at the DHS website. So, thank you.
Thank you. Are there questions? Are you too stunned? Yesterday, when we had this in our HES subcommittee, I asked them for the next chapter on the solutions. They said they haven't started that project yet.
Is that something coming?
No.
Oh. Obviously, we need some help.
And Olson, did you have any questions?
No, I didn't, Madam Chairman.
I appreciate you looking forward and looking at this. I think we've all just talked about it and knew that it was out there, and we didn't know the magnitude of it. And this is a framework. Come back 4 years from now and do it again and see how close you are. Which part in here is the part you spiced up?
The whole thing.
The whole thing. Oh, okay.
I would have been done a half hour ago if we did this last night. So
they refused. His rate is pretty fast.
They refused my offer to sing. So
yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Very good.
I just like to make a brief comment. I appreciate the presentation and one of these issues in our budget that gets a little bit of attention, and it's going to get a lot more as we go forward trying to control our formula-driven issues, but it certainly, I think, will lead assistants at this table and other committees on looking into the system as far as what's driving it and maybe where we can try to slow it down.
It doesn't look good. It's very daunting. Camp. There are no further questions.
I just want to know when that one chart that the baby boomers are going to start dying off. Starts to spread out. I've been trying to figure that one out.
Get out before.
Luckily, I'm not one of those, so yeah. We'll beat them. Okay, we're adjourned.